Revelation chapter 13. We're going to talk about something that's been kind of weighing on my heart as of late, and I thought about it on my trip just as we were driving down the road a little bit, and it really brought tears to my eyes thinking about it, because I think about the next generation and the New World Order, and I think about preparing the next generation, equipping them to fight the New World Order. I look at the generation, and I'm just shocked at what I see. My son's generation, and even just some of you guys your age, 20 years old, the men that are coming out at 20 years old, and I'm watching these men, and I'm looking at them, and it's frightening to think about my son growing up in the New World Order, just him growing up in that, because it's coming. It's coming very quickly. You know, it's not as if it's a light matter anymore. It's not as if, you know, it's a long ways away. I don't see that. What I see today from the signs that we are watching and we're just seeing right in front of us, that things are moving forward quickly. And I think we have generations and a generation that they're not being equipped to understand what they are about to face. So Revelation chapter 13, let's pray first. Father, Lord, we need you. Lord, I pray this message, I pray the truth of it, Lord, would come out. I pray, Lord, that you would be honored and glorified by all that takes place here today, Lord, but that folks would understand, Lord, that they would understand the truth behind this New World Order and understand how to train the next generation, Lord, that is coming up, because, Lord, we're in trouble. We've got a nation full of effeminate men that won't stand up and do right. We've got young people, and even in this generation, we have so many theological problems that we're facing. How could they possibly stand? How could they possibly have a firm foundation? Lord, help us now, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation chapter 13 and verse number 4. And they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And then we see in 1 John chapter 2, verse number 18, little children, it is the last time. As you have heard that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. And then I think of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 3. Turn there to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Think about that. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him, now you pay attention closely, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Look at that. Deceivableness of unrighteousness. Because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusions, they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, I'm sorry, folks, but the one thing I notice about these verses is this is talking about religious people. I do not think that atheism will dominate this world. I do believe it is a factor in things, but I think the atheists are going to be the lapdogs for the Antichrist. They are going to run to him. They are going to lick his toes. They are going to do whatever he says, and they are going to fall down, prostrate before him, and they are going to worship him. They are going to be the first ones to follow the Antichrist. Don't you ever, all these guys say, oh, we're free thinkers, we're this. Nah, you're a bunch of deceived Luciferians, and you're going to fall right into line when you're told. You're going to do exactly what he tells you to do. Because he's going to show you those signs and lying wonders that you've always wanted Christianity to prove to you. He's going to show you those. Right? That New World Order, that leader of that New World Order, that Lucifer, the Antichrist, he's going to show the world what they want to see. He's going to show the atheists the signs and the lying wonders that they want to see, and they are going to follow him. They are going to be his foot soldiers. Right in line. But folks, you have to understand something. This is talking about religious people. These verses may be describing some of our children in this room right now. Now, you and I don't want to ever think that, and I definitely don't want to think that, but they absolutely could be. Because I'll tell you something right now. If people continue in the weak, watered-down theology and lack of Bible preaching that is preached today, they are definitely going to follow suit with that. They are being prepared for the Antichrist right now. Absolutely being prepared. So I'm going to give you some thoughts that I've had on this, and I'm going to give you a lot of scripture, but some of the thoughts that I've had about this that I have seen, some things that I've seen and I've witnessed in my generation, and then thinking about my son's generation. It absolutely terrifies me to think about my son's generation growing up in a new world order. It absolutely terrifies me because I think about my son and I think about how I grew up, and I know, and I want you to be prepared and understand that you and I are not going to, our children are not going to grow up in an American that you and I grew up in. They are not going to. It's a pipe dream if you think so. Because it's absolute delusion. Because things are changing so rapidly now. They're not going to grow up in that America that we had. They're just not. They're not going to grow up in that world that we lived in. They're going to grow up in a new world order. It's coming. And we have to be prepared to equip our children for a new world order. Because it's coming. It's already here. But it's going to dominate and take over. And deceit is one of the main ways. People being deceived. Deceived by false religion. Deceived by being religious. Listen, that's the one thing people don't understand. You think the New World Order is going to be ran by atheists? No, it's going to be ran by religious people. You kidding me? All the cults and everything else going on right now, they're all going to be, they're all different compartments of Satan's kingdom. And at the top, they all agree with each other. They're not separate. The first thing I think about is my generation, my son's generation. I wonder if I'll make it out of this life with my head. I think about that. I wonder if I'll make it out of this life as an old man, to live to be an old man, and to die an old man. I wonder if I will. I wonder if I'll be taken out. You just remember one thing. If anybody ever tells you that Pastor Cooley took his own life, it's a lie. You just remember that. You remember that. You've heard what I preached on suicide. You know what I believe about that. If anybody ever says that, you remember one thing. It's a lie. Yeah, amen. What's the date today? Mark it down. Time stamp it. It's a lie. Amen. I wonder if I'll live to be an old man and still hold on to these liberties that we have left, that we experienced in this country for so long. These are sobering thoughts. I don't pretend that they're not. They should stir up our thoughts. Will we be the generation that loses all liberty that is left? Will we be the one that fails our children's generation? I think about the Baptists that fought hard for the liberties that we abuse and care nothing for today. I think very soberly of how God, how those God-fearing holy men would be ashamed to see sodomites parade around in pretended liberty and act as if that was what this once great lively experiment was meant to end up like. A bunch of sodomites dancing around. I think about how in my generation it's hard to find biblical preaching and biblical churches in the land of the fee and the home of the slave. Think about how my son's generation, and I look at the effeminate youth out there, boys that don't want to be men and take care of wives, or boys that like boys and not women. I think about how American history is being completely erased. True history is being erased. How the Pope and his race pimps through the Masonic orders are trying to erase any bit of Southern heritage, a war on the South completely, and erase any bit of Baptist and Protestant heritage he possibly can. I wonder if my son's generation will stand for anything. Will they? The one place where the gospel rang out everywhere, where we still had much liberty? Will they stand? Will my son's generation, will the children in this room, will they stand? First Peter chapter 2, verse number 15 says, "For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God." My generation has used their liberty as a cloak of sin and wickedness. The liberty they desire is the gospel of lasciviousness. I think about men that are standing up in my generation and the previous one, and they are preaching a gospel that cannot and does not change people. And I'm telling you, it is nothing more than the gospel of the Antichrist. A gospel that doesn't change is not the Word of God. It is not the gospel of the Bible. It's scary that we even have a debate. I remember a guy mocking me one time, and I remember him saying, "Well, I believe in a gospel that could change somebody." Wow. This is literally the first time in history from the mouths of Baptists in these previous generations here that we would preach a gospel that does not change, that has no power to convert the sinner from darkness to light. And you think you're going to fight the New World Order with that? Really? You really think you're going to fight the New World Order with a gospel that doesn't change? The New World Order is a spiritual kingdom. Do you understand that? You think you're going to fight it with a gospel that doesn't change people? What are you handing your son's generation? A gospel that has no power. A fake formalism. Churchianity. Acts chapter 26, verse number 17. Turn there, please. Acts chapter 26, verse number 17. "Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." Listen. When I get a guy that calls me on the phone the other day for an hour and 20 minutes and is telling me how, "Hey, I mean, what's this whole repentance thing you preach? I mean, what are you talking about? You don't have to repent. I mean, it's unbelief to belief. That's what it's all about. That's it. It's everything. Just unbelief to belief." And I just always, is unbelief sin? Did you turn from sin? I know, you just stepped on your stupid there, didn't you? Feels really bad, doesn't it? So absolutely ignorant it is. And every man I've ever met that defended that position has sin in their life, and that's what the problem is. They don't want to let go of sin in their life. They want to hold on to it, and they're not going to let go of it, so that's what they do. And how I kept, and Paul said in Acts chapter 20, verse number 20, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. How could my son's generation ever be equipped to fight the Antichrist, the New World Order, when they are being handed a gospel void of repentance, one that cannot change a man and make him a new creature, a salvation without regeneration? What's the point? I don't get what the point is. And when I had this conversation with the man, he kept saying over and over, well, yeah, I mean, it's good that you changed. No, what you don't understand is I didn't change anything.
Right.
You keep trying to give me credit. No, I'm not giving me credit. I'm giving him credit. He put the new nature inside of me. He made me a new creature.
Right.
If you don't get it, it's because you're lost. Boast about me changing me? Are you kidding me? If I was left up to me, I'd be out there doing the same stuff I was doing. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Christ changing me. I never thought I'd see the day that preachers would call me or men who would call me just to argue away biblical repentance. Man, I got excited with that guy. I'm sorry, but I've been dealing with these people for like 4 years. And they can't stand it. I don't know why they listen to it, but they can't. They get mad. They can't stand it. They got to call. Oh, this repentance thing. I'm just going to. You're going to call me and straighten me out? Like I'm sitting on the phone. You're going to straighten me out, huh? Just don't listen. You see me calling everybody out there and having a conversation with an hour for every preacher out there that I disagree with? No, I just don't listen to them. Yeah, he goes, well, I do that. It's like, great. I guess you've got a lot of time. I don't have that much time. Yeah. It's funny because the man looks at me and he says to me, or not looks at me, he's on the phone with me, sorry. But he probably was looking at the phone like, I hate this guy. But he just said things like, yeah, Jesus came to save us from our unbelief. And I flatly told him, you're a liar. I just told him, no, you're a liar, you're a heretic, and I'm not going to listen to you. Well, you need to be kind, and you need to be nice, and you need to be this. No, what you're telling me is like a serpent, and you're preaching another gospel to me, and you expect me to accept it. The Bible clearly says he came to save his people from their sin. See, why is that important to your son's generation? Because they're being handed the gospel. It says, go live like the world. Go act like the world. Oh, Jesus might change it, but just go say it. No, you're deceived. That's all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, who receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. You're looking at it right there. That is the falling away right there. That's right. He said, well, that was to Israel. I said, oh, Israel's the only one with sin, huh? Yeah. He was a hyper-dispensationalist. By the way, in Revelation 21, verse 8 says, the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. That's all sin. Yeah, exactly. If you're going to look at it, it's even stronger now, even more so than ever preached. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 speaks of a sin problem. How in the world do you expect, though, let me ask you this, to prepare this generation, let alone my son's generation, to war with the Antichrist, to do exploits, when you have a gospel that can't save someone? How will you ever prepare them? The answer is you won't. You will send them right into the Pied Piper of the Antichrist's hands. They will fall for it in a heartbeat. Most of these churches today are full of lost people. And that when the Antichrist comes on the scene, that's exactly who they're going to follow. Why? Because he's religious. And he shows them signs and lying wonders. And they don't have the power of God inside of them. They don't have the Holy Ghost inside of them. They are going to fall for it. They're living under false professions. They've never been born again. They've never been regenerated, changed, made new creatures. They don't know what the new birth means. They don't have any clue about it. They don't even get it when you try to explain it to them. They'll never be able to stand with that because they'll not even be saved. And that's why we have millions of false converts in fundamental churches today. Jesus said it. Why do you think George Whitefield and Jonathan Edwards went to the churches first when they preached? Because that's where all the lost people were. That's where they all were. They were right in the middle of churches. Why? Because they'd never been born again. They didn't know the new birth. They knew a baptism by a sprinkling. Right, then they got kicked out. So they went, and then they preached out in the fields and the streets. Jesus said, except you repent. Paul said, except you repent. John the Baptist said, repentance. Peter preached repentance. You must repent and believe the gospel. If this is the war of our generation, what will the outcome of my son's generation be? If we can't even nail down biblical repentance and understand it. Listen to me, young people. You young children here, you listen good. Pay attention very closely. If I'm ever taken out of here by the devil or any other powers that be, or I lose my head, you remember one thing. There is no such thing as a gospel that doesn't change someone. If any man comes to you and preaches another gospel, you let him be accursed. You throw that bum out on his head. Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. If this old generation dies off and you do live in this world and you do live and you are facing the Antichrist, or if you are facing a new world order, or if you are facing so much theological mess, you remember one thing. There is no such thing as a gospel that doesn't change. You don't believe it. You don't accept it. You reject it. You run away from it. You owe nothing to an institution that apostatizes. You leave it and you find proper way to start another one. But you don't continue in apostasy. You owe no loyalty to your forefathers if this place apostates. You leave.
Amen.
If any preacher after me tries to teach you that, if any pastor comes here after me and tries to teach a gospel void of repentance or void of a changed life after being born again, you run from this place.
Amen.
You run from it. If he won't leave, then you leave. You get out and you don't come back. You stay away. Don't you ever accept and receive a gospel that doesn't change someone. It has no power. It's not the gospel found in the scriptures. It has no power. You don't accept that. It's the mark of the Antichrist is what it is. It's all deceivableness of unrighteousness of them that perish.
Amen.
You'll never equip a generation to face it. Do you understand the amount of deception that is coming? And I'm telling you, if you're not born again, you are going to fall for the deception of the Antichrist. If you have never been born again, if your heart has never been changed, if you have never been made a new creature in Christ Jesus, then the one thing that you will do is fall for the Antichrist. How do you equip this next generation? You think about it. Are we equipping them? Are they ready for it? Are we ready for it? Do we understand it? 1 Corinthians, you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 20, and think on these things. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 20. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power.
Amen.
And then go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, please, in verse number 5. And I want you to think very strongly about this, because this is the power of God. There is no such thing as a gospel that doesn't change people. You don't just take on religion. You get the Holy Ghost inside of you. He changes you and he makes you a new creature upon repentance and faith in Christ Jesus. Paul In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 5, look at this. He said this, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only." What do we have today? A lot of word only. "But also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord unto Macedonia, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how," what? "How you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." Listen to me. You see it right there very plainly. He said the gospel came not in word only, but in power, in the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. It was there. The power of God was there to change lives, to make you a new creature. There's no such thing as another gospel that doesn't change you. If you receive that, you will fall for this coming deception. If some forked-tongued wicked man comes along, you reject his message. And you here in this church, you reject and always reject a gospel that doesn't change someone. You will raise children of the rest of this generation right into the hands of the Antichrist and a new world order. Listen, folks, they are good morning. You're waking up to a new world order. That's exactly what it is. You are seeing it right now in front of you. You are seeing it in front of you. People say, "Well, this president is a Muslim." Well, actually, he's a Luciferian. They all are at the top. They don't care whatever flavor or brand. They don't care about that. They don't care. You can give them whatever flavor you want. They're all Luciferians at the top. That's who they are. Like Bush, he posed to be a Christian. Sorry. Go study his family out. That don't sit well. I know it don't sit well with people, but listen to me. I'm going to tell you, just go search it out. You know? Millions of people in churches today are ripe for the mark of the beast and the Antichrist. In my generation, millions in churches are today, are already Antichrist. When this religious leader, like, I don't know, the Pope, together 2016 with the Pope, Antichrist Francis, is already merging the collective together. Together 2016. If you haven't listened to the video, the audio that Brother Nate and I did, go back and listen to it. It'll inform you very clearly of what's headed here. Okay, so you got all these Protestants and these, and I don't know if there's any Baptists there. There's a few probably apostate. Southern Baptists there. I'd argue whether they're still Baptists, but but the Southern Baptists are there, right? And the Protestants are there, and where are they? They're meeting all together at the National Mall. Right in front of the obelisk. How absolutely fitting. And this little effeminate dude that's from Minneapolis here, Nikki Hall, is that his name? Nikki Hall, agent provocateur for the Pope. They're all meeting. They're all meeting together here. And they're all going to have a little religious song. It's sort of like Nebuchadnezzar. When you hear the sound of the cornet, the trump, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, you fall down in front of the obelisk. Big music scene. Big music scene. Why? He says, it's just going to be about Jesus. When he says Jesus, it makes me cringe. When he says it, just the way he says it, makes me cringe. What is this? They're preparing for the Antichrist. They're going to get a million people there in that mall. And once the Pope shook his hand, it's over, baby. They're going to have their million there. Because those Catholics are going to flood that. Francis. Yeah. Francis, the false prophet there, he's got it, man. All you have to do is get that. He did the same thing for Billy Graham. He filled Billy Graham's events. You have Southern Baptists now building mosques. So what's left? What are we handing my son's generation? How are we equipping the next generation to fight the New World Order? By compromising and swerving and getting along with the Pope? You know, Wednesday I'm gonna preach a message to you on identifying the papacy as that mother of harlots, the great whore. I want to show you scripturally all the way through that's who she is. That's who it is, the false prophet, the Pope, all those things. I want to show you those things, that Antichrist system there, so you understand exactly, identify it. The lines are being so blurred today, though, with an ecumenical hippie love gospel that I fear the next generation will be absolutely silenced. We're seeing it now. People are scared to talk. They're scared to go out in the public forum and talk. They're scared to preach against and speak against anything. You know what they did to my forefathers when they arrested them, my Baptist forefathers, they arrested them. They told them, now, don't you go back out there. And if you preach out there, you're going to be arrested. You need to agree that you won't preach out there. No. No. So if they can do it, we can do it. We've sold our children's generation down the river into slavery to that Babylonian Antichrist effeminate pedophile, Francis. A wicked man. Absolutely wicked man. You know, it used to be that Baptists used to preach hard against Rome. Now they're in bed with her. And they're going to be burned in bed with her, too. Next, will my son's generation fight? Will my son's generation be more than just churchgoers or pew warmers, putting in their time, checking in and checking out like on Facebook, and that's all it means to them is like checking into their favorite restaurant on Facebook? Will they be hearers only of the word? James chapter 1, verse number 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Will they understand this Christian life is about more than just calling yourself a Christian? Or will they fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life? What will they do? What is this generation doing? Most of them are folding and giving in. When I see many teens and those in their early 20s and how our children this generation are being raised, it frightens me. I mean, how is a bunch of skinny jean-wearing, unrepentant, tattooed, tackle-box-faced men that don't know if they're men ever going to fight the Antichrist? Amen. Think about it. Is this too straightforward? I'm so tired of walking out in public and everybody looks like a queer. I'm sorry, that's what they look like. Everybody looks like a sodomite. You walk down the street and everybody you look at, you can, it's like, is there any men around here at all? Are there any left? They all got these skinny little girly looking pants on and they're walking. And then the women, they're walking around butch and manly. Yeah, and they're grabbing the skinny jean guy and be like, come on, let's go. Turning around, pointing their finger at you and yelling at you, right? And the men are all standing in the back. And the women are like bold as a lion up there, like, ah, jezzing out on you. And they're like going crazy, right? It's the truth. How many videos you want to see? I got a ton of them. I can show you. You don't believe me? Every week we go out, that's what it is. And the little skinny jean wearing dude, he's like scared to death. He don't know what to do. He's like, confrontations frighten him, you know. The woman's like, beast mode. Whoa! You know, she's morphed into this crazy psychotic person. It's the way it is. It's just... How you think, I mean, how are these people going to, I mean, half of them are androgynous anyway.
Right.
And I'm talking about in the churches.
Yeah.
I remember a few years ago, well, I mean, this is like 8 years ago probably. No, maybe not that long, maybe 7 years ago. I was in a church before I came here, and I saw boys wearing those skinny jeans then and running around like that. I'm like, why are you doing that? It just looks goofy. By the way, I had some lady send me, she got mad at me for saying some of the things I say the way I do. I like when they leave those comments on sermon audio without an email so you can address their... By the way, that's a wicked Jezebel that does that. They leave a comment like that and they snipe you and they know there's no way for you to respond to them. So that's why they do that. It's pure evil is what it is. It's absolutely evil. Anyway, but I was too hard, I guess. The stuff you said was true, but you said things like fruit and you said things like other things like that, and that's, you just shouldn't say that. It's like, really? I mean, this used to be where people actually could talk and like wasn't offended so easy by everything, right? It's ridiculous. It's like Jesus didn't always call people exactly, I mean, he called some people foxes. He called them vipers. They weren't. Did you know that they weren't actually physically vipers? So when I say fruit, they're not actually physically fruit. So I think you can see a comparison there. She said that she thought that it was like me and Nate on that show were like a bunch of schoolboys, frat boys. She said we were like two frat boys. She said, you guys sounded like two frat boys picking on that Matthew Vine. Okay, let me help you out with something, lady. That's why you don't preach and men do.
Amen.
Go home and bake some cookies.
Amen. Right.
Uh-oh. Amen. I'm tired of that stinking spirit. Nobody, whoever told you have the right to tell a preacher how to preach anyway? Yeah, no kidding. Go home. Take care of your husband. Take care of your responsibilities.
Amen.
And guess what? That ain't jezzing out on me. That's not your responsibility. You don't like what you listen to? Click. It's that easy.
Yeah.
I know that's kind of bold, isn't it? And we should just be squeamish, and I should bend over, limp my wrist a little bit, and walk around like everybody else does around here, around in this country. And that's how I should be, so I don't offend some Jezebel, proud, stubborn, stiff-necked, haughty woman that doesn't like what I say.
Right.
Well, that's what's taking over in America. Have you seen it lately?
Yeah. Yep.
Have you seen it lately? Huh? Look at it.
Amen.
She's running for president, the head witch of America right there. She's running for president now. You see it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's too much. Don't say that. I know. I mean, they only kill people. We should just be nicer. You know, like Elijah was to Ahab. He was, you know, we should be like, yeah, we should be that nice. You should just calm down and just kind of soften it up a little bit. It's too much for this generation. That's the problem. That's why they're all going to give in to the Antichrist. He's going to show up on the scene. He's going to be smooth and he's going to be slick. And they're just going to go, okay, here you go. They're just going to fall right. My generation and my son's generation, they're just going to be like, okay. They're going to fall right in line and just walk, aren't they? Mm-hmm. Why? Because real men are despised. Have you noticed it? They're despised today. Hey, by the way, that spirit comes up in churches, too.
Yep.
You know why they don't like to be around me? Because I squash it, that's why.
Amen.
Or if you're a hillbilly, I squash it. Yeah. That's what I do. Because you either wash or you wash something. And with this door the way it is today, we're definitely washing. To our visitors, I'm sorry we went straight hillbilly on you. When you first came in, I just want you to know that's Lee Pongrass's idea. Take it up with Lee. All right, moving on. But you think about it. We can't even like talk about the role of the sexes. We can't even talk about the husband being the head of the wife and the wife falling out. We can't even talk about that today without having so many people upset. It used to be common that preachers used to preach on that, and they would just direct on that, and people would understand that. And now it's like a challenge thing. What's a partnership? Where do you find that in the Bible? You don't. But that's not very well accepted, because today most men have just given over their leadership to their wife, and they've not led. And the wife is like, well, somebody's got to lead, so I'll just do it.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's what happens.
Yeah.
I know. Stuff like this is not comfortable. We should go back to talking about things where nobody will get upset. I've never really done that, so I wouldn't be good at that. By the way, this country is being flushed straight to hell. And we're watching it. Yeah, it is. And I look at most of the youth and it's not promising. The girls want to be boys, the boys want to be girls, and some don't know what they are. That's the way it is. And some of that is just the average youth department of apostate fundamental Baptist churches. We can't call sin sin anymore. Right? You start calling sin sin and people get upset with it. It's kind of bold preaching. It's kind of mean, isn't it? I mean, yeah, it's a subset of sin. Is that what Anderson said? Unbelief is not sin. It's a subset of sin. I've never seen subset of sin in the Bible. Have you? If the thoughts of foolishness are sin, then I don't think there's a subset of sin. That would be sin. This push on this generation for free and open love. You know, we live in a pampered time and nation. And I see these young people and the rise and the allurements of witchcraft today. Witchcraft is completely mainstream today. It's mainstream. It's not provocative to be into witchcraft. It's mainstream. It's accepted. Yeah, it's not real. It's no big deal. The push on this generation for free and open love. The unity push at any cost and not based off any one solid foundation of truth. That's where we're at. We are at a time when, listen, parents, we have to be diligent. You can't just back off, and you can't just allow your children to grow up. They have to be raised. They have to be raised with standards. They have to be raised with truth. They have to be raised with respect and to understand exactly that God has some absolutes that we're going to get to. But they have to understand those things. Instead of carried away with every wind of doctrine like today. Instead of being in a place where if you disagree with somebody, well, you just hate them. That's why you disagree with them. It's just hate speech. Yeah, it's all hate speech because you disagree with us, so it's hate speech. You hate us. That's why. It's like a little kid when they get disciplined, a little child. What do? You hate me. You hate me. That's what it is. That's why you're doing it. You hate me. These are full-grown, 20-year-old men. Sort of. I don't know if you can call them that. I mean, I guess they are. I don't know what you call them. When I look at them, I don't know what they are. I walked down the street one day, and I was like, I told my wife, I said, I don't know what that is. Can you believe we're actually in a day and age in our country where we can actually look at it down the road and be like, I don't know what that is. Yeah. Hey, somebody got mad at me. Oh, Eric Frank got mad at me. That's who. He got mad at me one time because I did that because of the video of those two things that were thing one and thing two. Yeah. And they were like, I honestly, they walked up to me and I was preaching, and they, or they walked, Nate was preaching, somebody's preaching, and I walked, and they walked up and I said, what are you? I don't know what you are. No, they were like, I don't know if they were women dressed in dress. I don't know, I'm confused. Anyway, like, I didn't know what they were. If they were like transvestites, if they were transgenders, if they were. They said, we're spiritual beings. I believe that. Devils are spiritual beings too. And they were, they go, we're men in drag. Okay. Now we know. Well, we think we know, but we don't really know. You don't really know if that's what they are. I just thank God I'm not looking for a wife today. That's all I got to say. Well, I'm married. It's worse than a box of Forrest Gump's chocolates, right? Fruits and nuts and everything in there. You don't know what you're going to get. You just, I'm sorry, but you don't. You don't have any clue. It's scary. It is downright scary. I'm telling you, folks, it is. This is a generation that we're seeing. And how do we go from there and to be like, okay, we're going to equip them. Your children have to understand how to wade through that. They don't get it by pastors not talking about things like this. And that's what happened today. I guarantee you, you scan the average sermons today in Minnesota at fundamental Baptist churches, they won't be talking about anything that's going on right in the world today. They're not dealing with this generation. They're not dealing with what's going on. Right. So how do we equip this generation to face the Antichrist and the New World Order? How do we do it? How do we prepare them? Well, number one, we use the Word of God. That's what we do. We use the Word of God. And I mean the King James Bible. I'm not being confused. When I say Word of God, I mean the King James Bible. The Bible is very clear. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You need to use the Word of God. You need to take the Word of God. You need to show them very plainly what sin is, what repentance is, what faith is. Oh, I have, like the guy told me, and I'm going to get that video online sometime. I'd like to, I just didn't have time to do it, but I'd like to get that video so Brother Nate and I could, you know, kind of just give some instructions through that video. But when I met with that guy on the street, he tried to catch us. He tried to catch us, and he was trying to, Brother Ryan, remember that guy? That guy was trying to catch us, right? So Brother Ryan had him come talk to me, and he was like, oh, I just want to talk to you about what you're doing. I like what you're doing here on the street. Thanks, I think. And then he comes up and he goes, could I just ask you some questions on Facebook Live? It's like, sure, I don't care. I said, and I recorded him too. And he started asking me questions. Well, my friend here, she's a homosexual, and she has faith in Christ, and she's received Christ as her Savior, and she's a Christian. And she loves God. What's wrong with her? but I said, well, the Bible says very clear. The first thing I said is, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love God, then you keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous to you. So you're telling me that you're an active, happy homosexual and you're a Christian, and that's not true. That's not true at all. You can't be. Amen. And she just, and he was, I think he thought I was going to get mad at him or whatever, but he just kept taking me through. He was trying to trap me. And see, that's what they're going to do to our youth. That's why if there's any younger men out on the street, they always go after them. They want to twist them up. They run up to me and be like, you can get out. You don't have to stay with them. Use your mind. And I'm like, no, he can't ever leave. That's always why, to twist them up and to try to pervert their mind so they can get them off and they can pervert their mind. Yeah, it is. It's how the devil works. He goes after the weakest. That's what he first goes after. We have to give them the pure word of God that's been preserved for them. You just remember, all those other manuscripts come from a bunch of Ghostbuster wannabe spiritual perverts, Westcott and Hort, and the Vatican. We need to clearly warn them that the Pope is Antichrist. That's the next thing that has to happen. You got to clearly warn this generation that the Pope is Antichrist. You cannot. There is no truce with Rome. None whatsoever. That's why I'm going to preach another message on Rome as the great whore, the mother of harlots. Listen to what C.H. Spurgeon said on Roman Catholicism. He says, we must have no truce, no treaty with Rome. War, war to the knife with her. Peace there cannot be. She cannot have peace with us. We cannot have peace with her. She hates the true church. We can only say that the hatred is reciprocated. We would not lay a hand upon her priests. We would not touch a hair of their heads. Let them be free, but their doctrine we would destroy from off the face of the earth as the doctrine of devils. So let it perish, O God, and let that evil thing become as the fat of lambs. Into smoke let it consume, yea, into smoke let it consume away. No truce with Rome, ever. That old pervert in that dress had to chop my head off. Not very nice. It's not very nice to lead billions of people to hell. Yeah, and murder millions of people. What's that? Yeah, he apologized to the Waldenses, yeah. What a joke. Yeah. I'll say to you very clearly, to hell with the Vatican and the Gospel of Rome. The papacy is Antichrist. It is that there is no truce. There is no peace. There's no reason to sit down and talk with that devil. There's no reason to have anything to do with him. There's no reason to have anything to do with Nikki Hall, and all those other people. There's no reason to have anything to do with any of them. They're a bunch of apostate, wicked people that are leading billions. They are part of the great falling away. They are part of what is designed. And if you don't like this, you better listen up, friend. It's coming straight to you. It's coming right to your front door. And you want to think about rainbows and puppy dogs. And I'm sorry, friend, but this is a war that's happening. And you got to suck it up, Sally, and get ready for it. Because you're going to be outcasted and called all things, and you're going to have everything come after you that you cannot believe. And the reason you're going to come after you is because you're going to stand against this religious compromise. No truce with Rome. No together 2016 with Rome. I don't care how many young people or how many hipster wannabes come along and tell you how we all need to come together with Rome and preach the gospel. Rome doesn't have a gospel. They have the other gospel, that's right. Many smooth-talking antichrists out there today that will seduce many with doctrines of devils. Smooth talkers. Galatians chapter 1, verse number 6. Turn there, please. How do we prepare this generation? We show them the truth and we be very absolute about it. Galatians chapter 1, verse number 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Listen, when Rome says Jesus or the Trinity, they mean Isis, Horus, Set. They don't mean the Trinity. They don't mean God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. They believe in a Jesus that is co-redemptorist with Mary, that Mary is his co-redemptorist. She's with him. She was a part of redemption. That Mary was sinless. I call it the great assumption. But that's what they believe. They believe in a Jesus that is waiting to hear from his mother. That's what they believe. When they say grace, they mean sacraments. When they say faith, they mean what's found in the sacraments. What a Roman Catholic priest delivers, the actual body and the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what they believe. That's not the gospel. That's what they believe when they say that. See, what happened was, we had so many lines blurred in America. The religious right blurred all the lines in America with the Roman Catholic Church, and now Rome's backing out of all their stuff. Now they're backing out and taking their money with them. James Dobson. He needs to focus on his own family, right? They mean a Jesus that is submissive to Mary. That's what they mean. We have to teach them that the Roman papacy is Antichrist and the end times whore found in the New Testament. Teach them never to lay down doctrine to get along with others. That's what the start of this Together 2016 is all about. They say, it's all about Jesus. But which Jesus? And who defines who Jesus is? Certainly not the scriptures, because Nick Hall has said to lay everything aside and just follow Jesus. You cannot divorce Jesus from the scriptures. This generation, they believe they can form a Jesus in their own pocket and a concept of who Christ is void of the scriptures. 2 Corinthians 11:4 says, "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him." He's speaking sarcastically. We have no agreement with Rome, none. Rome is the end time mother of all harlots, Revelation chapter 13. The beast that is seen there will take over the whole world. What is he called for? The end of the Reformation, the end of the Great Schism. He said it very plainly. It's the end of the Great Schism. It's the end of the Reformation as well. The Reformation is over. We're not protesting anymore. That's what Tony said. Yeah. He said, it's over. We all believe the same thing. You all do. You're right. Listen, he is called, the Protestants have all gone back home to mama. I don't know what Francis Chan is doing. But it sure looks like to me. Because if you even told me the Pope was going to walk anywhere near there, the only place I'd be is holding a sign out saying, this guy's Antichrist. The only way I'd go there is if I stood up and been like, okay, I just want you all to know, all you millions of people out there, the Pope is Antichrist. That's what I would do, and then I would leave. That's what I would do. But I sure wouldn't get up there and preach like I'm a part of this. Our children must never be confused at what the gospel is. They have to understand moral absolutes to wage war against the New World Order. You cannot live in the land of make-believe relativity. And that's where people are today. Well, if it's right for you, it may not be right for me. And that's where these people live. And that's what these generation lives in. Well, it's wrong for you, but it's not wrong for me. That's the land of relativity. That's what it is. There, where there are no moral absolutes. That's where we're at. And you've got to teach them very clearly that the scriptures define absolutes. They cannot be confused about that. They have to understand very, very, very plainly what Jesus says, what God says about homosexuality, about fornication, about lying, about cheating, about the Antichrist, about his kingdom, about the Roman papacy. All that they must understand very clearly. The only way they get that is if you teach and preach on that, and they understand those things. That the Bible is our rule of faith and practice, not our feelings. Today it's feelings over fact. Feelings over faith. Feelings over everything. That's what it is. I know what this says, but I feel this. Well, that's great. It doesn't matter what you feel. It matters what it says. No one ever stood before God and says, but God, I feel. Let's talk about this. God, I feel this way. I mean, Jonah tried it, right? God looked at him and said, doest thou well to be angry? I do as well. Didn't work out for him, did it? God proved he didn't do well to be angry. Right? Because God took his little happy place away from him, his little gourd. Right? But he was trying to go off his feelings. This is the way I feel. Elijah did the same thing when he ran away from Jezebel. Right? Woe is me. Didn't matter, though, did it? God said, gird up your loins and get moving. Amen. And you know what? Sometimes you're going to feel. Listen, that's another thing you have to understand. Don't you dare trust your feelings. You trust what the Word of God says very plainly and very clearly. Do not. Your feelings are going to be all over the place. And in these end times, they're going to get worse. You've got to trust the absolutes of Scripture, not your feelings. Because you're not going to feel saved some days. You're not going to feel spiritual some day. You're not going to feel something someday. Doesn't matter. None of that saves you, none of that keeps you, and none of that has anything to do with it. It's nice when you do have good feelings, but it doesn't change anything. Whether you're happy or whether you're sad, right? It doesn't change the truth any. We go by absolutes, not by every wind of doctrine and our feelings. We cannot have a concept of Christ void of the Scriptures. You find the Jesus of the Bible in the Bible. And that's if the Jesus that you received is not the one that's defined in the Scriptures, then you received another Jesus, another gospel. We have to teach them right and wrong without hypocrisy. This is right, this is wrong. Very clearly. We have to teach them Revelation 12:11 says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death, unto the death. That's really the question you have to ask yourself. Is he worth dying for? Ask yourself. That's where your faith, that's where your Bible faith, if you have it, that's where real Bible faith is he worth dying for? Is Christ worth losing your head for? Is he? Is he worth it to you? Would you die for him? Very sobering thought, isn't it? That may be tested someday. Sooner than what you think. Is he worth it? I don't like preaching like this. I bet. I don't either. But is he worth it? Is he worth it? If he is, then you should live for him now. Because you haven't been asked to die yet, but you have been told to live. But will our children, will they have a real testimony of Jesus Christ changing them? Will they have a testimony? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. I preached a sermon, How to Defeat the Dragon. Will they? Will they? Have true Bible faith? Will they have a constant true testimony that they understand of a changed life? They came through the blood of the Lamb and they've been changed and made new creatures? That's what, you know what, that testimony, the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony is why they'll be able to look up at that Antichrist and be like, yeah, just clean shaved straight across. Make it clean. Try to do it once if you can. I mean, will they be the generation that loses their head for the faith? Will the children that I raise now be the generation that loses their head for the faith? Sobering thought, isn't it? Should be. It's not a game, you know. It's not a fairy tale. Will our faith be tested this generation? Paul said, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but dung, but I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." Listen, you are equipping, or you're not equipping, the next generation to battle the Antichrist. Are we preparing them for the possible hardships? Preparing them to face a new world order? Are we preparing them to understand there could be food shortages? And to be content with such things as you have? People went through the Great Depression. You don't have to have the end of the world to take place, or the Antichrist to come on the scene for you to have that. People in the Great Depression had it, didn't they? Now we can talk about how that happened, but that'll be another message. are we teaching them to understand to prepare and to save up food or water and other practical things that we would need? Yeah, to be self-sufficient. Are we teaching them to make things and make do with what they have? Are they willing to starve for Christ? Are we? Lots of Waldensians, lots of people like that starved for Christ. A lot of them died in prison, wet, cold, rat-infested cells. A lot of them died burned at the stake, looking at them saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Is he worth it to you? If we cannot stand now, how can we expect them to not be deceived by the Antichrist? If we in liberty cannot stand, I'm going to that sodomite event. I'm going. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. If we can't stand in perfect liberty, how will they amongst absolute tyranny? We have a responsibility to stand. And I'm just telling you, I don't care whatever trap they try to lay. It's going to be out in the open. I'm going to be right there in your face right there. No, I'm right. I can't back off. I cannot back off now. I can't backpedal. I can't. I just can't do it. We have a responsibility to stand. And if it costs us, so be it. But we won't be the first generation to pay for something. We won't be the first generation that has to get, listen, our Christianity comes with a cost. It comes with a price. If we in liberty can't stand why will they stand in tyranny? You know what? Some of you, if you can't even stand up to grandma or grandpa or family member and you try to hide your faith from them, how do you expect them to stand when they're facing the Antichrist? Because somebody's going to be uncomfortable with your spiritual stand. Big deal. I've had that my whole life. Ever since I've been saved, I've had somebody uncomfortable with something that I did. Let them be uncomfortable. Let them be. Maybe they'll stir up their heart. Maybe they'll start thinking about where their spiritual walk is. Maybe they'll start getting serious about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Maybe they'll get serious about it. Right. Your faith needs to be tested. Amen. Matthew 24, verse number 10. "And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and the children shall rise up against their parents and shall cause them to be put to death." Mark 3:13-12. It says here the brother shall betray the brother. Are you prepared for that? Yeah. Oh, not my family. They wouldn't do that. Yeah. Yeah, Cain and Abel, that's right. They will do it, and they do it. And it will happen. By the way, I just wanted to go on the record to say that Jesus Christ said that and not Pastor Cooley. So you know, that's what Jesus said. Don't blame me. It's what he said. Oh, that pastor, what are they, a cult or something up there? No, I didn't say it. Jesus said it. He said. He said, brother shall betray the brother to death and the father the son. The children shall rise up against their parents and shall cause them to be put to death. Will they be the generation that gives into this? We don't want to think about things like that. We want to go on and live our happy little lives and act like nothing's going to happen. I get it, okay? But I still have to answer to God for not telling you, for not informing you. And I can't just ignore what's going on around me in the world and be like, hey, don't preach on any of that. Just ignore all that stuff. Just ignore it like it's not there. Let's continue to live in the land of puppy dogs and rainbows. Right? Because that's more comfortable to be there. And nobody will be offended and everybody will like you. Well, I got over that in junior high. Nobody liked me in junior high. So I just carried that on through life. Think about this. And we're almost finished here, but with the rise of all this technology, will our children understand the importance of family and unplugging? Or with the allurement of the AI technology, will they be deceived? Will some of our children be taken in, taking the mark of the beast? We're seeing, some of you don't know what I'm talking about. There's a rise of AI, this artificial intelligence, and it's growing stronger. And see, what some people think about the mark of the beast is that it's going to be like, just, well, you take it or this. It's not quite. The Bible says it's going to be deceiving. There's an allurement that's going to take place when you can. It's no longer going to be like this, which is like you have an iPhone, right? So this is what you have here. You have a phone, right? It's not going to be this. It's going to be implanted into this. And then I'm going to be able to process facts and give answers and get things within seconds. And I'm going to have God-like powers through AI technology. So I'm going to be able to do things that, humanly speaking, cannot be done. Like, was it Ray Kurzweil? They asked him, is there a God? And he said, not yet. There will be. Not yet. He's going to make God. What was the promise in Genesis chapter 3? Ye shall be God as gods. That's right. How? Well, he was promising them something without God. But who is he? He is the beast. And what does the beast want to do? Push man and beast together. So it's going to be, right, it's the height of evolution, right? Alchemy, all kinds of other stuff. But anyway, there's a lot of stuff that goes into that. But anyway, the point is what? To make them gods. So what is going to be the allurement to these skinny jean kids that are running down the road and everything else? What's the allurement? Well, you're going to have power. People are going to respect you. You're going to be able to do cool things. You're going to be able to defy human nature and do things that you couldn't do. So what are they going to do? I want that. Give me the mark. Or the right hand and the forehead. Forehead. Right? We know about the forehead, right? We understand that. Mm-hmm. We've studied that before. Right, the third eye, that's right. So they'll open that up to that demonic world completely with the merging of man and machine and spirits and devils. So what do you have? The perfect weapon. The perfect capability. And what are they going to do? They're going to fall for it. Why? Well, I don't want this boring old Bible here that has rules and that wants me to follow. I want the new world order. Novus Ordo Seclorum. I want that. I want the new world order. I want to be a part of that. He's got to wait. Hey, listen, I couldn't walk before, but now with this mark, I can walk. with all signs and lying wonders. See, that's how it's going to be sold to people. They've got it here, but they want to implant it here or here. Because then you don't have to worry about typing into a computer going online. You are online. You are the online. You are fully merged into the Google. That's right. Will they fall for it? I'll tell you, Jesus said this in Luke 18:8. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? The perversion of the day, the rise of that AI technology, and the pornography and accessibility and fornication mixed with androids. Are we preparing our children to stand against the deception and the total depravity of the devil and the wickedness that's coming? They are right now trying to make basically artificial intelligence prostitutes. And make them go online. The next age of pornography and fornication. That's it. That's the next one. And then they will merge that completely with the machine. And it will totally dominate and take over a man's mind. And the devil will use the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. These children need to be in a good church that preaches the truth. You can't compromise. That they must know the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth, and the internet is no substitute for a church. We praise the Lord we can put sermons online, help people that are out there, but they need fellowship and accountability of the saints. The Antichrist will wage and has waged war against the Lord's churches, and we have to put on the whole armor of God and fight for the victory and understand the real battle, because it's there. You're not going to hear very many pastors talk about AI technology and things like that are coming and the merging and all those. They're not going to touch that stuff. Why? Well, that's too kooky. That's too weird. I got past the kooky and weird stuff a long time ago. Building 7 was enough for me to get past the kooky and weird. Just did it for me. I was like, okay. Who cares about being kooky and weird anymore? All right? Because if you believe that, you're nuts. So that's all there's to it. That just gets you past that whole kooky weird thing. Okay, don't worry about that anymore. We have to put on the armor found in Ephesians 6 and fight. Again, like I said before, this is not a Christian cakewalk. It's a war. And it's a war for your mind. Not to steal something from Alex Jones, but it's true. It is an info war. And he's a disinfo agent. How do you like that? Now, how deceptive is that? That those that are supposed to be informing you, the alternative media, they're those that are supposed to be informing you of everything, of the conspiracy and of the movement, are actually the ones that are deceiving you. Wouldn't it be weird if the only thing you could really trust is the Word of God? Wouldn't that be weird if you couldn't actually trust the alternative media? Like you couldn't trust Alex Jones, like you actually had to trust in the Word of God? Imagine if that's how God set it up, that you would trust Him and His plan and His way. The temptations and the deception is growing stronger. Listen to me. You explain what children, young people, you understand this too. No matter what you feel or what you see or what signs and lying wonders are there, you must be trained and you must trust the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word alone and not believe in cunningly devised fables and extra-biblical things. Because the deception will be strong and the signs that and lying wonders that the hearts are craving, they're going to receive. All these charismatics, they're going to get their signs and wonders. They're going to get what they want. Right into the Antichrist. Right into the beast kingdom. We've got to be on our guard and we've got to understand, we've got to equip our children for a new world order, to grow up the hardships that they could grow up and see and the things that they will be challenged with and the absolute depravity and deception that is coming their way. Because it's coming. the wickedness that is going to be thrown at them, what they're going to ask them to do, and what they're going to ask you to accept. They're already asking you to accept that it used to be they asked you to accept that Johnny had two moms or Johnny had two dads. Now they're forcing you to accept that Johnny is Janie. It just gets worse and worse. That's the deception that is coming. And you have to train your children biblically so they understand the truth. So they are not deceived by the Antichrist. That they have a gospel that changes someone, that they understand what it means to have evidences of salvation, that by faith they believe in the Son of God. We know that repentance doesn't save. We know faith saves. We understand that. For by grace are you saved through faith. But we also understand that repentance and faith are gifts of God. And there are evidences of those gifts when you've been born again. There are evidences of those gifts. To say that there's no evidence, you just walk by, well, I believe God, but I continue to live in sin. Well, read the book of 1 John then. You'll find out real quick, you're a liar and the truth is not in you. That's what you'll find out. Take it from the Word of God, not from anybody's feelings, not from how you feel, not from what you see, and not signs and lying wonders. It is faith. And a faith of the faith in this book, and a faith that is defined by this book. Not a faith that is defined by what the world defines faith.
Right.
Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, right? Yeah. By faith.
Amen.
That's right. That's right. It hasn't changed. It's the same yesterday, today, forever, just like Jesus Christ. Father, Lord, help us. Help us understand the weighty challenges that we face in this life and preparing this next generation to fight a new world order, to see the Antichrist on the scene, to fight the deceivableness of unrighteousness that is coming, Lord, that deceit that is coming to deceive all of mankind. Lord, may our children have real Bible faith, and may it stand in days of apostasy, in days of treachery and wickedness, in terrible, perilous times that we face. Give us the strength, Lord. We've read the end of the book. We know we get the victory, but we still have to follow the plan that you laid out in the scriptures. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.